This is the first reading from Proverbs 8. We start with verse 1 and then go on to verse 22 to 31. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Lord, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dusts of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind.
I've got John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The word of life. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on everyone. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much indeed. And I just now pray for Ian as he comes to speak to us. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you put on Ian's heart this week. Lord, just open our minds to receive this message. And may it transform us today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Audrey and Susie, as well, for our readings. On Wednesday afternoons, we have a small network group, four of us, and recently we were reading about the story on the Emmaus Road after Jesus' resurrection in Luke 24, where Luke says this, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And I've heard preachers sometimes stop at that verse and say, oh, wow, I wish I was there for that Bible study. And we said to ourselves, okay, challenge accepted. Let's look at Jesus in the Old Testament. And what we found, of course, was that Jesus is not mentioned by name anywhere in the Old Testament. Well, of course not, if you think about it. But what we do here at Christmas and at other times is lots and lots of hints and pointers in the prophets. Someone is coming, the prophecies say, God's chosen person, a saviour, For example, that famous reading in Isaiah 9, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the prophet Micah says, you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And then again, Daniel says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence, and he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And then in Proverbs 8, as Audrey read to us, we're introduced to wisdom as a virtue, almost like a character with a speaking part, the personification of an admirable quality. And these books in the middle of the Bible are called the wisdom books, because in many chapters, people are searching and seeking to become wise, to discover and learn how to live life well. And here in this reading from Proverbs 8, wisdom is almost like a companion of the creator, the craftsman at his side. As you read it, you might ask, is this character female? It speaks about her voice. Or is the character male? It speaks about a craftsman. Is wisdom perhaps a creature made by God, the first of his works, it says? Or is wisdom a child of God's own nature? He brought me forth. I was given birth. Is it even perhaps Jesus under another name? But what is clear is that when God created, one of the key qualities in his creative act was wisdom. The creator was wise when he created. It wasn't some random act. It wasn't like a mistake or something. It wasn't even a byproduct of some other action, as perhaps you get in the stories about the Greek gods. Nor is it even a sad or angry or reluctant action. Proverbs 8 tells us that creation was a delight. It was a joy, never a regret, but an act of pleasure. And then we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1, that Susie read to us, so familiar from Christmas Bible readings. And that tells us of the Logos in Greek, the Word in English. And a little bit like wisdom in Proverbs, it seems to be a personification, a character. The Greek philosophers treasured the Logos as the rational principle, like reason or understanding, logic and philosophy. And here John takes that and runs with it, as they say today. The Word in John 1 is again a companion of God in the beginning, in creation. We read the Word was with God and the Word was God. So was it separate from God or was it the same? Both, apparently. Everything in the universe was made through him. And then gradually from that view of the universe, the camera, it's as if it pans down towards our planet and zooms in on John the Baptist and on light in a dark world, and then focuses in on children born of God. And we arrive at the Word becoming flesh and living, dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You have to actually wait three more verses before John uses the name Jesus. It's almost as if he wants you to say it yourself, come to your own conclusion, rather than him telling you out loud. So wisdom in Proverbs 8, holding God's hand in creation, delighting in wonder. And then the word bringing light and understanding into the world. Who can doubt really that Jesus is the one being referred to? A little bit like perhaps you remember your very first encounter with the person who will one day become your life partner. You may not immediately know that person's full significance to you, but you probably know they're somebody special. There's a chemistry there. And eventually it all comes into clearer focus, particularly in hindsight. And then I read today's collect, the theme prayer. Almighty God, give us reverence for all creation and respect for every person, that we may mirror your likeness in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the collects for the second Sunday before Lent, Sexagesima in old money, seem to be about creation. The readings seem to be about wisdom and the word being there in the beginning at creation. So is this the Trinity? What do we make of all this? Well, we know from the creation stories in Genesis that God has given us responsibility. And we're just beginning to grasp what that really means. David Attenborough's helped, I know, with stunning photography. We're beginning to see more and more movements, aren't we, for eco-church and becoming carbon neutral by 2030 and checking our carbon footprint. Oldham Church has an old oil boiler, and their PCC were considering this week whether we should really replace it with another oil burner, or can we switch to something a bit more eco-friendly? In lockdown, we've found new delight in nature, haven't we? Spending more time out walking or out in our gardens, gardening. So why should we care for this earth? Some Christians have been a bit wary of this Greenpeace stuff, associating it with liberals who need a cause to fight for, who perhaps don't really believe the gospel of salvation. But we follow Jesus, who trod lightly upon the earth and was not some great consumer of goods and so on. And these readings make very clear that the Son of God was the agent of creation, just as he is the agent of salvation. It may have been the Father's initiative, but it was the Son what did it by the power of the Spirit. So what would Jesus do, WWJD? Would he exploit the earth's resources for his own benefit? Would he chuck litter down beside the path? This morning we woke up to the headlines that the beast from the east, Mark II, had arrived, bringing snow and ice to the east of England. Well, we looked out of the window at 7:20 and scoffed. It was mild and it was sunny. But just 20 minutes later, snow was blowing past the window. And 40 minutes later, the ground was white. You may have heard of the five marks of mission. And the fifth one is this: to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. So what can we do to care for creation? God's creation, Jesus' creation. Well, I think we can each do our bit. Maybe recycling more, eating less meat, avoiding flying, using washable face masks, modern light bulbs, turn the thermostats down a degree. What can I do? Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever. Amen.